So I just want to share some thoughts that I've been meditating on. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again come before you with thanksgiving and with praise. Yes. Unless you speak this morning, unless you continue speaking this morning, it'll be a waste of time. And so, Father, I look to you, I lean on you, I trust that you love the people that you bought with your blood. Amen. And that you cannot wait to feed your people. You cannot wait to supply the branch. You cannot wait to bring forth fruit that glorifies you. And so, Father, we look to you entirely and ask for your blessing on this word. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So my struggle with this morning's message is I have to use words that we're so familiar with that you probably won't hear it, or that it'd be very easy to not hear it. I could try using words you don't know, but I don't know them. So, but when it comes to spiritual life, when it comes to, well, let's just talk about life in general. When does life begin? When does life end? What is life? And we talked about this a little bit with the Compass Bible Study Group. And the example I used with them, which was lost on them because they're all young, but for those of us in this room, do you remember watching on public television a little program called Sesame Street? And so they would have a graphic on the screen. There'd be four boxes, and there'd be four different pictures, and they would sing this little song, which one of these is not like the other? And so you'd have three objects that were similar and a fourth one that wasn't, and you would pick out the fourth object because it wasn't like the others. So I'm explaining this to the young people. And I said, for example, they would have a picture of a sparrow and a cardinal and a blue jay and a tree. And they would say, which one of these is not like the other? Okay, so obviously the tree isn't a bird, so it's not like the others. And so they can't have a relationship. The bird and the tree can't have a relationship. Well, you could tease it out a little bit. You could say they have a symbiotic relationship. The bird nests in the branch of the tree, and so the bird benefits from the tree. Well, the tree benefits from the bird because the bird hops along and eats the little bagworm that was... he didn't eat enough of them, though, because they're still bags. But, you know, so they have a relationship. But even though all four are living, it's a different life. There's bird life and there's tree life. And so they're living, but it's not the same life. And so where we were going with it, with the Bible study, was the phrase that you're all familiar with, that our fellowship is based on life, not based on light. So you may view baptism differently than I do, but as long as Christ is in you and Christ is in me, then that's the basis for our fellowship. We don't need to fall out over baptism. Now, if you think that Jesus is not God and he was only a man, then you don't have Christ in you. I do have Christ in me, and now it's not the same life. But in contemplating about life, one of the questions I put to the youth group, I'll put to you as well. When did man begin to live? This is group participation. You can answer back. When did man begin to live?
Creation.
All right. Specifically, when at creation?
God breathed into his soul.
Exactly. So Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground." I want to pause there a moment. And let me venture into conjecture, okay? My next few points is Paul Greenlee's opinion, not gospel. Don't do anything with it. Just, you know, don't point and laugh. But so my conjecture is, I think at the point that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, my opinion is that his cardiovascular pump was working and blood was coursing through his veins. I think if his eyes opened, he would have seen sky. I think he may have even been inhaling and exhaling oxygen and CO2 or whatever. Yeah. I think the body was fully working. That's my conjecture. So finishing out verse 7, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. What I'm struggling to explain is, I think that when God breathed into Adam's nostrils, so we think of this as the olfactory sense, we're able to smell. It was a life portal for Adam. So God breathed life in through his nose. But I think that the life, and again, this part is conjecture. I can't give you a specific verse that clears this up. But I believe that the life that entered Adam at that point was the spirit life of God. It is, as I say, I think that he had physical life. But at the point that God breathed into him, he became a living being. Now, God's command to Adam and Eve was, you can eat of any of the fruit in the garden except the one. And the concept being that when you eat of that fruit, you will die. But we know that at the moment that Eve ate the fruit, and at the moment that Adam chose to eat the fruit as well, neither one of them physically ceased to exist at that point. Obviously, because we're here. So there was death there in the garden. There was life there in the garden. And I believe that that is outside of whether or not the physical body was animated. So when we talk about what is life, what is death, so life is, if we're in a pro-life discussion, well, life happens at the moment of conception. Life happens when there's a heartbeat. I'm not going to disagree. And if we're talking about on the other end of the spectrum, at the end of life, if a person is on life support and there's like no brainwave activity, but the pump is still pumping the blood, are they still alive? I'm not really going to get into defining that. I can't exactly say one way or the other, but I do know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so I'm going to again bring it back to spirit. I believe that based on what I'm seeing in Genesis, that the moment of life for the human being is when the spirit enters the fetus or when the spirit is enlivened. Well, let me back that up because I'm talking about physical life. I want to talk about spiritual life. So forget the moment that life begins for the human physical body. What I'm talking about is we know that spiritual life begins for a human at the moment that they are converted, become a Christian, they're a believer, they enter that relationship with God. At that point, that's when God's life comes into them. Now, you could view man's spirit as a container, and it either contains the Adamic nature or it contains God's nature. You can say the spirit of the world or God's spirit. Again, I'm not really going to define that. I'm going to say I know clearly that when a person becomes a believer, God comes to live inside them. When God comes to live inside them, they are alive. And so we know in John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you've heard me quote that often. You've quoted it often. And I believe it's one of the reasons very clearly that in the Ten Commandments, God says that thou shalt not commit murder. And that's because murder is stopping life. God is life. Therefore, murder is wrong. It's sin. It's counter God. It's opposite God. And so, so there is this spirit life. And we know, what's the reference for the fruit of the Spirit? Is that Galatians 5:19? 5:22. Thank you. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so these are the things. Now those things belong to Christ Jesus. I'm sorry. Let me stick to verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those are all things that every single person wants. I've been over this point quite a bit, that the major things that drive humans is love and joy and peace and everything in this list are major drivers for human beings. And they are a fruit of the Spirit. If we go back to what we've been reviewing over the past few weeks, Jesus is the vine, we're the branch, and a vine-focused branch is producing fruit like crazy because he's drawing the life out of the vine and it's naturally producing fruit out there behind him. And so, again, God is life. For the believer, that life comes into them. And as long as we draw from that life, the fruit of that drawing from the Spirit of God that was breathed into Adam, that he lost when he sinned and we regain when we repent, the fruit of that life is everything you've ever wanted. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. And as I read to you last week from, I think it was 1 Corinthians 10:30. Let's see if I can navigate there. I'm new with electronics. I've never used this stuff before. No, that's not the right passage.
I have a little struggle with lying, too.
Yeah, well said. Well, it was in one of those verses I read last week that Jesus has been made for us righteousness. He was made for us wisdom. He was made for us sanctification. So not only are there the things that we need, love, joy, peace, but there are things that we also need, like sanctification. We need justification. We need wisdom as to where to go, what to do, how we should live our life. And Jesus has been made those things for us. So not only is he the life that produces those fruit, but he's also the things that we need for wisdom, godliness, true devotion. And so another verse I want to read as we are wrapping this up is 1 John 5. And I'm thinking it's around verse 10. It's verse 11, which is close. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son does not have the life. And so this life that God breathed into Adam, that he lost at the fall, and that we regain when we are in relationship with him, is Christ. And so this is where there's kind of a, I don't know how many of you saw the movie The Matrix. I've seen it once and I didn't really understand anything I was watching, but it was some cool special effects. But the concept I did understand is that there were two realities. There's the reality that you think you're in and the reality that you're actually in. The reality that we think we are in is this one, and it does seem pretty real. And I'm not going to say that it's not real. But everything that we know has, all the living things that we know have a start to their physical life and an end to their physical life. And so we tend to think of things as animated, as living, as life, as how we relate to these living things. But this concept that we read about in Scripture of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We tend to think, oh, everlasting life, that means I'll never die. Well, that's true, but that's true for everyone. Everyone has eternal life. In other words, every single human being that has ever been conceived will never end. So we're all eternal. So as far as on the other end, no eternal in the beginning. But this receiving of eternal life is talking about the God life. It's talking about the Spirit life. It's talking about the connection with God. And that is eternal. It's eternal on both ends. But the point is receiving life. So we think that every human being that we interact with is living, but they're not. They have physical life. Some, like the brother I met yesterday, have spirit life. And that's where that connection comes in. That's where that's the life of Christ in him bears witness with the life of Christ in me. And there's fellowship and there's this instant connection. I had no idea I even knew the guy. And even if that hadn't been there, I would have still loved this guy because of the life within him and within us. And so as I wrap this up, I spoke last week about being grafted in and about drawing everything from the vine. And so everything that is life, everything that we've ever wanted, everything that we ever need, as you know, I've said it over and over, it's found in Christ. But we've got to get it. I mean, you have him. When you get saved, he's in you. But are we growing in that? Are we relating with him? You know, I can say that I live with my family. They're in the same house with me. So I'm living with my family. But I'm living with oxygen. I'm living with food and drink. So there's a different concept of living with. I'm living with Jesus because I've got a fish on my shirt and a fish on my bumper sticker, and I've got a Bible in my house, and I go to church, so I'm living with Jesus. But are you living with Jesus like you're living with oxygen? The way you're living with oxygen is you are bringing it in, and it's providing life to you. It is part of the process. And are you living with Jesus like you live with water? Like you've got to drink water or some kind of liquid, and it supplies your body. Are you living with Jesus like you live with food? Are you eating enough of everything, the vegetables and the lean proteins and all those things you should be eating? But are you taking that in? Is that part of your life? And so living with Jesus is living with Jesus, who is life. Living with life is partaking on a daily basis, just like breathing, just like drinking, just like eating. It has got to be coming in and being fleshed out through us so that it's real. Well, not so that it's real, because it's real whether you do that or not. But in order for God to be glorified, in order for his kingdom to be advanced, in order for there to be fruit of the things that you want in your life, you've got to live with Jesus. You've got to take him in. And so with that, we'll close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have done everything that it takes to become everything that we need. We thank you that you have made this beautiful backdrop, this beautiful background of creation and the fall of man to show your abundant grace and mercy and love and your virtue and your justice and all of the fantastic attributes that you show through such weak human vessels as us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to draw, to live in you, to let your life flow through us fully. Enliven every part of our being in your life. Enliven our eyes, enliven our ears, enliven our words, enliven our deeds, enliven our motives, enliven our wisdom and our understanding for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.